Good. I'm doing good too. Thanks for asking. First off, I just want to thank Pastor Ken and Tom just for giving me an opportunity to preach again. Honestly, if I look back in my life, I would never see myself today standing in front of you guys preaching. But God had a different plan for me. I look at my high school years of wanting to be a professional baseball player through high school, to becoming a leader in the church, to then to an intern, and then to an assistant youth pastor, and then to an elder at 23 years old. That God had a different plan for my life. And that's just awesome to see. So again, I thank you again just for the opportunity to be able to preach here today. It has been a crazy couple of months. Last year, I took on the first role of the assistant youth pastor position, just getting the main events like Youth Explosion and our Christmas Overnighter. I was in charge of that. So there was a lot of stuff that I had to learn, and it was hard, and it was kind of stressful. But it was awesome just to see how God worked in the midst of all that. That when we had Youth Explosion, we thought that we might not have enough funds to get all the kids there. But then God pulled through and we got more money to allow more kids to go, which we had the most kids we ever had to go to Youth Explosion. And that's just awesome. And then the Overnighter, it was another hectic event to lead, but God pulled through. I got us enough leaders, enough help, enough kids, so it was awesome. I do got to share the story with you just because it probably has not happened to any of you guys here before. This happened last week. as of right now, I'm starting a new workout routine. I go at 5 o'clock in the morning every day. I do that because, afternoons just get so difficult. I don't really have time to really do anything. So I go in the morning. So last Thursday morning, I had Micah, my brother, with me, and his buddy, Daniel, and went to Planet Fitness and Alliance. We worked out. It was a good day. I had a good workout. It was good. I was happy. So I leave there, and I'm like, my truck is filthy. I'm going to get a car wash. So I pull out. I go to one of the nicer car washes in Alliance. Average morning, not a lot of people around, and I pull in there. Everything's fine. It washes off my car. It says drive forward, so I drive forward, and there's a little green light that indicates that, to drive forward, and I go up, and it turns off, but the door doesn't go up. I'm like, no big deal, I'm just going to reverse back, turn around. The other door is closed. So I'm like, it's not a big deal, So I got out, and I just went up to the front. I tried to push it up, and it didn't go up. So I go to the other door that I came through, and I try to push that up, and it doesn't open either. And then there's a door that leads into the other car wash that leads out, and that's locked too. I'm like, man. So there's a sign that says, in case of emergency, please call. So I'm like, this could not be a better situation. So I call them, this guy, whoever it was, and he doesn't answer. So I'm like, it's okay, Josiah, you'll be fine. So I'm just sitting there walking around trying to figure out how I'm going to get out of here. Guys, I was there for 15 minutes stuck in a car wash in Alliance. So now it's in my mind of like, should I just call the cops? But then I was like, okay, so after the cops answer, what do I say to them? 911, what's your emergency? Yeah, I'm stuck in a car wash in Alliance. You heard it all, just my pride. After 15 minutes, the back door finally opened, and I reversed out. It was so hard to come home and tell my wife what happened. But in the midst of it all, whatever situation you're in, trust God that he's going to get you out of it. And sometimes, very crazy story. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll get started with the sermon. Father God, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for your love, for your mercy, Father, for protection. I just thank you, Father, just for loving us. I just pray for today's sermon, Father, that you would give me the words to say, Father, that you give everyone here the ears to hear, Father, just to come out of this change, Father God, with a new mindset, Father, a new vision, Father, that they would see things differently than they did before. Just give me the words to say today, Father, that this message that I'm up here, Father, is just you. Father, it's not me. Thank you for who you are. In your name, amen. So I was really debating on what I want to talk about today because I had a sermon prepared. And you guys all know how God works. You know, if he doesn't want you to speak on that, he's going to let you know. And he did not want to speak on that. And I remember telling my mom and dad at first what I was going to speak on. And then coming back, you know, a week later and telling him that God told me to speak on something different. This is something that I really prayed to God about that I was dealing with in my own life. And it's something that we're called to do as believers. And that's standing out from the world. That the world, there's a certain way we have to act. We have to talk a certain way. We have to dress a certain way. But Christ wants us to follow him. I'm going to read out of Matthew 5, 43, 47. That's going to kind of lead into the sermon. So just bear with me here as I read this for you guys. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may show yourselves to be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? So, you know, we're called to be different from the world. I look at an example in the Bible in Acts 9:1-6, and it's a story of Paul. We saw in the Bible, but just a transformation of a man who was very evil, a man who would kill Christians. He didn't really want to have anything to do with Christ. And then God blinds him, and it's crazy how, you know, God blinded Saul in order for him to see. And just that complete transformation of a man who was so of the world, and now he's doing what Christ wants him to do. He's taking persecution. He was the one giving it, but now he's taking it for Christ. And just an awesome story that is of how we need to be. 2 John 15, 18-20. It says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it has hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than its master. If they persecute me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teachings, they will obey yours also. So the question is, guys, you know, I'm talking about standing out, but, you know, why are we called to stand out? Matthew 5:6 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and give you the glory to your Father in heaven. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We're called to stand out in order to bring others to Christ. I was talking to my mom a couple nights ago before my sermon, and it's just awesome to have just awesome spiritual leaders in my life that I can go to and talk to about stuff like this, and not just my parents, but others as well. But guys, there's a difference from talking to others about Christ and actually introducing them to Christ. Then Pastor Ken, he asked sometimes when people are up here preaching, he asked, you know, what does it take to accept Christ in your life? And I'm going to sum it up for us. It's just two choices. It's one, you can either be of the world or you're going to accept Christ in your life. That's it. There's only two. But Christ is always knocking at the door in our lives. He's always knocking, but we choose to open that door. And that's what it comes down to, is when we're explaining to these unbelievers, are we explaining to them, you know, just that? Not just what Christ, you know, is doing, his love, his forgiveness, you know, what he's done, you know, the Bible and all that stuff, but actually how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if we're not doing them, then we're not doing our job. And I understand that's a hard thing to do. I understand that's not the first thing that comes to our mind. But that's something that we really have to pray to God about. That we're called to go out in the world and to preach the gospel. But if we're not telling people how to have Christ in their lives, how to have a personal relationship with him, then we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Mark 16, 15 through 16. He said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Also, 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I look at, after we accept Christ, this is an example I'm using. You know, there's a seed planted in us. You know, that seed is Christ. We're changed, and I look at it as like as a tree that's growing. When we accept Christ, you know, the tree starts to grow. That seed starts to grow in us. And, you know, we all encounter that real spiritual high, you know, when we accept Christ. But then sometimes it kind of tapers down a little bit. You know, but after that, you know, the question is, you know, what are we feeding our tree in our lives? What are we feeding our tree? I look at an example of Daniel when the king showed him all that good food. And, you know, a king, you know, he has the best of the best. So that food probably looked extremely good. And Daniel was looking at that, and he chose not to eat it. And that makes me think, guys, that we, the enemy, will show us things in our life that looks very good, but is very damaging to our spirit. You know, we constantly seeking God, meditating on his word to grow in our relationship with him. Because if we're not growing our relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not going to be as effective as we can. That there are Christians that are still blending in with the world today. Because there's things in their life they probably have not let go of yet, that is causing them to not be as effective as they can be. I just remember when I was playing high school baseball. You know, that was my first, being homeschooled, I didn't really have an opportunity to play sports. So when I was allowed and I finally played sports for a high school team, a public school team, surrounded by people that are very ungodly, You know, I was talking to my mom that it as a believer, just the rejection that you get. And, you know, my brother Isaiah has experiences too, is just, you know, how much to just call you out on things. And that's fine, because I know that, you know, we're doing something right. But I just also know that surrounding myself with that and the times that was not in the Word as I should, I felt a difference. Things that were offensive to me were not offensive to me anymore. I would get in conversations that were not good and not really think anything of it. So staying in God's Word, guys, I encourage you guys, is extremely important. The next point I want to say, point out is it requires faith. You know, when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it requires trust and faith in Him. I look at Jonah, the story of Jonah and the whale, which all you guys know the story of Jonah and the whale. But God told Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh to preach. And Jonah said no. And he tried to hide from God. Sum it up, eventually, you know, God allowed a whale to come in and swallow Jonah up to basically get Jonah's focus back on God. And I look at that, and it's crazy because in our lives, you know, God sometimes allows a whale to come in our lives to swallow us up, to get our focus back on Him. Then when God asks us to do something, we don't necessarily hide like Jonah does, but we try to avoid what He's asking us to do. When we take our focus off of God, sometimes God allows chaos in our lives to get us back on track. Second Timothy 4:10. You don't have to go there. It says, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." Hebrews 11:6. Says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It just says the examples I was talking to you before of standing out, why we're called to stand out. It requires faith in Jesus Christ more to do these things, because He's going to tell us to do things that are very uncomfortable and different. And it requires faith because God does not want us to be comfortable, because He's going to ask us to do things that are very uncomfortable. I didn't tell Stacy this, but she was telling us something yesterday. It was Wyatt's birthday, by the way, yesterday. She was saying, I forget who quoted it, but she was saying how, you know, nowadays a lot of Christians just get caught up talking among other Christians and are not challenged. And I look at that, and it's just, you know, we do get caught up talking amongst ourselves a lot, and it's harder to talk to unbelievers sometimes. Because we feel comfortable. And it's uncomfortable to go and talk to somebody different that we're not used to. Me and getting this job as assistant youth pastor, I know there was an example I had to set for these kids, me and Tom both, that we have these younger kids looking up to me and Tom. And the biggest thing that I prayed for is that when I'm up here speaking, not just to you guys today, but to these youth as well, that my actions line up to what I say. You know, because in order to be an example, in order to stand out from the rest, is I just want to come up here and preach about, you know, what God's doing or what we're supposed to do, but I want my actions to line up as well. And that, as us, that's something that we have to keep in mind too, is we can have the absolute best conversation about God with somebody, you know. It's easy to say things, but it's a lot harder to actually, for your actions to line up what you're saying. So stand out. You know, while we're called to stand out and requires faith, set a good example, be patient and kind. Love others as Christ loved. Set an example, like I said. Reach out to people that are shunned or hurting. I instantly think of the Haiti team, that God called these people to go out and set an example of who he is to these people in Haiti. And there's people there that are broken, that have never heard who God is, and God placed those people to go there. I look at the Haven Rest Ministries and just what it's about. There's a lot of people coming in hurt, that are broken, just with family situations, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, and that they need a place of safety. But just also with even the staff there, you know, what kind of example are we setting to these people that are coming in? One of the biggest things, guys, when it comes to standing out for Christ, is just being in his word and how important it is to be in the Bible. Because we need to stay in the word to overcome the world. I'm going to say that again. We need to stay in the word of God to overcome the world. I'm sorry. Tom, we had a YA meeting, and he couldn't have said it any better. He said, reading the Bible, you know, we tend just to read a chapter because we feel like we have to. And then we close, and that's it. We're good. But what he was saying was, you know, when we read the Bible, we breaking down what it really is saying. Because it could say one thing, then we break it down, it could have a message for you. And we take in that time to really dissect what the verse is saying. You know, for some of us who are not in the Word as we should, and we're not constantly seeking God how we should, the Bible just, it can just be like a book to us. But for us that who are constantly seeking God in everything we do and seeking his word and growing in relationship, the Bible is communication. And that's what I ask, guys, is that we continue to see God in everything that we do, because, you know, this world is getting a lot worse. You know? And for us being Christians, it's dangerous, but it's what we're supposed to do. So constantly seek God, study his word, break down verses, stay in the word, and finally just pray. Is to constantly seek God to grow in your relationship with him. The enemy will try to make it seem that there's a certain spot in your life that you can get with God that you're good. But don't let the enemy fool you. There's no stopping point in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You choose how big the tree gets and how good the fruit is it produces. That you choose what kind of nutrition goes in. That when we tend to stop seeking God, stop praying, not in our daily word, not reading the Bible how we should, it affects our spirit. I think all of us here know that, and has encountered that before. It affects our spirit. We don't feel as strong as we usually do, not alert and weak. My mom made a very good point, is when the fruit that we bear is good and we are constantly seeking God and we're growing and the tree is healthy, we might not notice it, but others do. And that is the point, guys. Okay? That we are in God's word, and we're just like when it was talking about Matthew, let your light shine. Is we might not notice that light, but others will. And when others do, are we taking the opportunity to share with them what I have? And then we're not in the word, and that tree becomes unhealthy, and our spirit becomes unhealthy. You know, not just spiritually do we feel it, but physically as well. It's mind-blowing, guys, how easy it is just to be reading the Bible constantly every day and just one day missed how you can get kicked out of that rhythm. Stay in the Word of God and seek Him. He has the tools for us to be effective in this world. But we have to seek Him in order to get them. Us here, we need to work together to be effective in this world. Because there are people out there that have never heard Jesus Christ, and He's calling you guys to tell them who He is. That look at Haiti and the people that went out to reach the lost, but there's people right here that are lost as well. We don't have to go out of state, out of country to talk to these people. They're right here. They could be our next door neighbor, and God is using you to speak to them. Are you going to have the courage to go out and tell people who you have, what Jesus is about, and how He can change your life? A youth explosion. Honestly, I absolutely love Youth Explosion. It was so good this year. The topic was being still. So we're going to do something at Youth Explosion that did. It's very simple, and this is something to get us out of our comfort zone. There's about 800 kids there, and the guy asked just for everybody to be quiet. If anybody needed prayer, to go up front. It took that one person to go up first out of all those people. So what we're going to do is we're going to have about maybe 5 minutes of silence. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to pray. If there's anything on your heart that you want to pray about, or just, let's just be open to each other. Okay, we are family here. We're all believers. I'm going to have silence for about 5 minutes, and then once it's done, I'll close, and then Tom will come up. Father God, you are here with us. Father, I just thank you for who you are, Father. This quiet, this stillness, Father, is what sometimes you want from us. Father, just to stop and just to be still and just to listen to what you have to say to us. Father, I just thank you for everyone here, Father, and their hearts for you, Father, that just from this message today, Father, from what you're saying, Father, they just have a new mindset of things, Father, a boldness to go out and tell people who you are, Father God. I pray if there's anything in their lives, Father, that is causing them to step out, Father, or that you'll close those doors in their lives. And, Father, you'll be opening the doors, Father, for new opportunities, Father, for them. Strengthen everyone here, Father. Give them the courage they need, Father. I pray they continue to be seeking you in everything they do, Father God. That they have a mindset of every day they wake up, Father, a new breath, to thank you for that, Father, and just to glorify you. The enemy, Father God, wants us to be silent. Help us to be loud for you. Help us not to keep our mouths shut, Father God. And when we're not speaking, Father, help our actions to be glorifying to you. Then when we don't speak, Father, that people can tell that we're different by our actions. That we are called to be different from the world, Father. That when your son came down here, he was different. And we're called to be an example of you. And that's different. Help us to not be ashamed of the gospel, Father. Help us have a mindset serving you and serving others, Father. Thank you for who you are, Father, for your love. Just help us to love those who are broken, our enemies, Father. Just help us to love as you love. Thank you for this time, Father. Just pray when the worship team comes up here, Father God, that we would just be still, Father, and just listen for your voice, Father God. Thank you again, Father, just for who you are, just for New Baltimore Community Church, Father, and just the growth that is happening here at this church, Father. Help all of us to work here together, Father, to glorify you, Father, to use our gifts, Father, just to help spread the gospel, Father, and let people know who you are. In your name, amen.